This week, we had a very powerful image of Pope Francis standing by himself in St. Peter's Square, praying for the world, with the universal church, for all those affected by the coronavirus, those who are in fear, those who are ill, dying, those who have died, everyone throughout the world. And if you haven't gone and read his homily from that session of prayer in St. Peter's, please go and read it. It is wonderful words of hope during this time, but I want to reference his words because I feel it is a great way of entering into our gospel, especially as we continue to explore hope. And don't we need hope desperately right now during this time of illness, this pandemic? So Pope Francis, to start off his homily, uses not the story of the raising of Lazarus, but he turns to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 35 and through 41. And it's the calming of the storm at sea. And just to summarize it very briefly, the disciples are in the boat with Jesus, and they go on the Sea of Galilee, and a violent storm breaks up. And they are terrified that they're going to die. And Jesus remains in the boat, asleep on a cushion. And the disciples wake him and say to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" So he woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to it, "Quiet, be still." And there was great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith?" Pope Francis, in his address, talked about how we are in the midst of a storm. My friends, are we not? All you sitting at home right now, whether you deal with the storm of your interior life, of perhaps fear, anxiety, on a whole host of different levels, perhaps about financial issues, fear about the virus, fear about loved ones getting sick, yourself getting sick, perhaps just fear or anxiety or discouragement, despair about issues in your family, issues amongst your friends, being lonely, doubt in God, despair in God's goodness. And Pope Francis said that these storms, the storm we're in right now, storms bring out in us vulnerability. They reveal to us the deep insecurities of our hearts. They are laid bare before us. And the question that the disciples tell Jesus first and foremost, it's one that cuts to his heart. And my friends, this question really moved me praying with it this week and this morning. And it gets to the heart of hope, or our lack of hope. They say, "Do you not care?" Now, all you parents out there, grandparents, imagine your children come to you and in the midst of the heat of the moment, of some argument, some event in life, and they throw out that line, that question, "Do you not care about me?" That question, that line can cut so deep into the heart. That gets at the core of love, the core of hope. And yet, Jesus' closest friends throw that at him. "Do you not care that we are perishing in the midst of this storm?" And my friends, if we are to pray in spirit and in truth, with authenticity, the actual thoughts and feelings of our hearts right now, how many of us who are praying this Mass, how many times have we, whether or not we have verbalized it yet, but how many times have we gone to Jesus in the deep recesses of our hearts and said to him, "Do you care about me in the midst of this storm of the coronavirus? I feel alone, abandoned. I don't feel like you care." How much this hurts the heart of Jesus. How much he is wounded by this lack of hope in his goodness, this lack of hope in his love, in his power to be with us. We've been exploring this Lent hope, And what is the foundation of hope? I keep going back to St. Teresa of Avila and her phrase that she said it was said to herself over and over again. Oh God, you are all powerful and you love me. This is at the foundation of hope. You are all powerful and you love me. St. Therese of Lisieux, the daughter of St. Teresa of Avila, comments actually on this passage of the calming of the storm and says that either the disciples in their lack of hope doubt God's power, Jesus' power, or his love for them. And my friends, today, when we reflect upon this passage of the calming of the storm and the raising of Lazarus, do we doubt Jesus' power or his love for us, his care for us? Let's turn to our gospel. We encounter Jesus going to raise Lazarus, although the disciples can't piece it together. Martha, Mary, Lazarus' sisters can't piece together what he's going to do. But my friends, look at how many times in this gospel does it say that Jesus loves Lazarus and his family. It says it at least three times that he goes to the one he loved, that now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, that when he wept, the Jews comment, see how he loved him. And yet, in the midst of it, you can just see, like this passage displays Jesus' heart, the love of Jesus for an individual. And my friends, this love is for Lazarus, but it's also for you. That Jesus loves you. That he weeps for you. Mourns for you. In the depths of sin and doubt and despair, he wants to comfort you and lift you up. And yet in the midst of all of this, the Lord's love, passionate love for Lazarus, for us, look at the doubts, the lack of hope. If you had been here, Lord, my brother would not have died, Martha says. Mary says the same thing. If you had been here, my brother would not have perished. And Jesus, in all his patience and gentleness, tries to elicit from Martha especially faith. He says, do you not believe in the power of God? And she says, well, I know that whatever you ask of God, he will do for you. He will be raised. And Jesus tells her, I am the resurrection and life. I am the one who will raise your brother from the dead. And Martha, right at the end of the conversation, we don't really pick up on it. But she doesn't fully get it. Her faith, her hope are imperfect. And this should be a great comfort to us. That even Martha, that great saint, her faith was imperfect. Her hope was imperfect. And our hope, our faith, is so often imperfect. And so we go to Jesus, and we follow him. We watch him go to the tomb. And as I read this passage, I just, once again, going to the heart of Jesus. That it says multiple times that his heart is perturbed. He is deeply troubled. That he weeps, and there are so many emotions going on in his heart. He weeps, he's sorrowful for his friend. He sees the weeping of Lazarus' sisters. He sees the weeping of the Jews, and he is sad himself. But when it says that he is perturbed, that he is deeply troubled, that is actually a word of anger. A word of anger at sin, at lack of faith. It gets to that question that the disciples ask in the boat. Do you not care? And as you can imagine, Jesus walking along the path to Lazarus' tomb. And what must be going through Jesus' head? This one, the Son of God, who is continuing his earthly mission to save the world. Jesus is about to raise someone from the dead. And where does this power come from? This power comes from the power of Jesus' own cross, own resurrection that he is preparing for. In Jesus' heart, there is this ache, this not acknowledgement that I am going to suffer soon. That the power of raising Lazarus from the dead comes from my own cross, from my own resurrection. I am previewing it right now as I raise him from the dead. And this is an incredibly emotional moment for Jesus. We can imagine him as they roll away the stone, standing there and saying, "Lazarus, come out." Once again, in the midst of this great miracle, we go back to this question that just hits to the heart of Jesus. Jesus, do you not care? Do you not care? This coronavirus is the storm the entire world is enduring right now. Each of us, wherever we may be, whatever we are in our faith, in our journey, whether we are alone at home, with a family, with friends, my friend, the storm is raging all around us, inside of us. And our faith may be shaken right now. Our hope may be shaken, and we may question the heart of Jesus. Do you care? And I can imagine Jesus' heart breaks because, my friends, he died for you. It's almost as if he wants to shout, like, do I not care? Do you not see what I've done for you? We read in later on in John's gospel, he says to the disciples, do you realize what I've done for you? And in my own prayer this week, I read that line and I said, no, Lord, I don't. I don't understand what you've done for me. Convince me, allow me to understand. Because sometimes I doubt. My friends, all of you watching this, I know that sometimes you doubt and that it is difficult for you. And Jesus wants so bad to reassure us of his love, so bad to tell us of the love and power he can have in our hearts, our lives, right now. My friends, as we continue on with this time of Lent, asking for hope, I want us to do three things. The first and foremost is to go to Jesus in the midst of the storm, in the midst of this fear of death, fear of suffering, questioning the love of God, questioning his goodness. And I want us to speak in our hearts in spirit and in truth. Be authentic about what's going on in your heart. Be real. Say to him, I don't know. Convince me of your love because right now I'm doubting. Come as a child before Jesus and say, I don't want to be left alone. I don't want to perish in this boat. I don't want to be anxious, fearful. Lord, comfort me. Because I don't know you really, and I want to. Speak to him in that authenticity of spirit and in truth, the authenticity of how you actually feel right now. Then, secondly, I want you to turn to the Holy Spirit. We have these beautiful lines from Romans 8 from St. Paul, which referenced our Lord's own resurrection. And Paul says that you do not realize, son, daughter of God, that the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit, dwells in you. And he will raise and give you new life in your bodies also. My friends, think about this. When you invite the Holy Spirit into your body, into your mind, into your heart, the dark places that are despairing, that don't know that Jesus loves you, the power that enters there is the power that raised Lazarus from the dead, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. If we think about that kind of power, the situations in our own life are actually very small. They're not unimportant to Jesus or ourselves, but compared to raising a broken, bleeding body from the dead. My friend, Jesus can do that. The Holy Spirit can do that, can give new life, new encouragement, new hope to our minds, our bodies, our hearts also. So as you pray in spirit and in truth and authenticity of how you actually feel, invite the Holy Spirit in to give you strength that you don't have on your own. And my friends, lastly, I want us also to console the heart of Jesus, this heart that desperately cares for you and me, desperately cares for us, and I want us to trust him, to trust that he is in the boat of our own heart, that yes, we are not here at the tabernacle, we cannot come ourselves to be with the tabernacle of Jesus, but we have a tabernacle within us. The boat, the bark of our own heart, and Jesus dwells in there. And sometimes we think he's asleep, but he is always with us. And allow him, acknowledge him, talk to him in that boat of your own heart. Do it with an authenticity of prayer. Do it with the Holy Spirit. But lastly, do it with a trust that is born of calm, that is born of peace. For weeks now, even before I knew that we would be in this storm of the coronavirus, I have been going to Isaiah 30 almost every day to allow a message to pierce deeper and deeper into my heart. And this is what the Lord God tells us. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, by waiting and by calm you shall be saved. In quiet and in trust shall be your strength. Truly, the Lord is waiting to be gracious to you. Truly, he shall rise to show you mercy. For the Lord is a God of justice. Happy are all who wait for him. By waiting, by calm, by trust, by quiet, we shall be saved. And in these things shall be our strength. As we sit here once more in the bark, the boat of our own souls, our families, our community, our church, our world, and we feel like the boat is being ripped apart, Jesus is here with us. He is here, and his heart longs to reassure us that it will be okay, that he is the resurrection and the life, that this earthly life is not all there is, that he will take care of us in this life, and if we trust him, lead us to the joys and happiness of the next. He is the resurrection and the life. He cares for you. So ask him in the depths of your heart with the Holy Spirit, Lord, reassure me of your presence. Reassure me of your power. Reassure me of your love.